We'll have the baptism service at the Ritchies, right? You got water in your pool? Just throw a big block of ice out there? Okay. Whenever, I've said this before, for those of you who have children in the prep school, if I stop and they're still doing their class, and I'm not saying anybody's disrupting anybody, but you just have to be patient because the teacher that's in there has prepared a lesson and she likes to complete it. And that's a challenge when you have kids popping their hands up in the air and asking questions, which is a good thing. But just note that when we go back in the hall, you know, to try to be quiet for one thing, because you don't want to break their concentration. And so we can complete that in a if I made any sense there. I'll try to. Okay, let's be sure that we are under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And you know how to get there. Rebound. That puts you there. And since we have to deal with the sin that so easily entangles us, that's right at the heart of things as a Christian, staying in fellowship. And then you can do all the things you're supposed to do, like concentrate on this information in Bible class. It's really a phenomenal thing to learn. It never gets old with me, that all you have to do. But see, with everything in the Bible, without faith, you cannot please God. Since no man has seen God, you wouldn't want to anyway. He'd kill you, probably. Moses got a side view, and he got his face lit up. The evidence for the existence of God, if you're intellectually honest, and that's where people aren't, they just are negative at the core. And if you look at this creation, the sophistication, the interdependence, the variety, all of it, right down to the cellular level, this happened by accident? This is so awful, it's not funny. The existence of all of this that just in your human body could not have evolved. Apart from the Bible, how did it all get here? A big explosion occurred. That's what they sell us with a straight face in modern science. A big explosion occurred. You ought to see the math associated with it. The mathematical formulas that they made up to try to justify the Big Bang theory. And it was a Jesuit that was the promoter of it, a Catholic. He was very brilliant and yet very stupid. He's a wise man. And the wisdom of the wise is going to be brought down and exposed. So they had to have a mechanism for how it all got here. And that was their mechanism, for crying out loud. Something blew up and scattered this all out here. Amazing. It's amazing what Satan can sell to people that are negative. But they're primed for it. They don't want God in their thinking. Because a lot of these people are really, at the core, atheists. And they deny God, and God has left his signature all over. The evidence is all over the place. All of these organisms, everything, just take the living things. Their cells had to be programmed. And a programmer is something exterior to the unit you're programming. It's just a pretty piece of equipment sitting there, unless it gets some programs in it. So it knows what to do, think, and how to operate. And so this is a part of the darkness that's out there that's passing away. All this will be exposed, and all these people that bought into this stuff will be brought to shame. And the way you get your way, get out of it is first you get in Bible class and learn about the Creator and what He's done and how He's done it. Because they're not going to tell you. So we have fake science and we have true science. They run side by side. Biology, analyzing organisms, that's perfectly okay. you know. But anything that you have, like say your eye, it had to come full blown, or you'd be blind. You can't reduce it down another notch. In that book that was written by a scientist called Darwin's Black Box, his key term in there was irreducible. I really liked it. Irreducible complexity. You can't notch it down. The organism would have died before it ever got started. It perished. So we didn't all come from one little thing. It's mind-boggling. But that's how far people run with these things to avoid the obvious. A designer, a creator with genius and power to be able to do this. I'm amazed constantly at things I observe in the natural world. A little funky insect, you know? Or a spider going like a bat out of hell across the floor with all those legs, and he just goes, boom! Whoa! You know? On all that you see, it all points back to the originator of it all, God. Anything but the truth, huh? Well, that's the funny part, I guess, in a way, that this is all going to be exposed, and everybody who bought it is going to be brought to shame. How do you get out of the mess? You pray. You pray for wisdom. You pray for God to enlighten your soul with regard to the truth, and you work your way away from all this. So you stand in the truth. Science and so-called history, they do not override the Bible. They do not. If you do not believe that the Bible is from cover to cover the inerrant word of God, perfectly revealed, doesn't mean we got it all figured out. We don't. But we got a lot figured out. A lot. And we ought to thank God every day for it. And we ought to pray every day for wisdom for ourselves and for our pastor, and to get us where we need to be at the end. We have the mind of Christ. And if you think the divine viewpoint, you think like Jesus Christ. And God's real impressed with his son. It's obvious he is. And he's impressed with those who aspire to be in his image. And you can't be in his image if you have a bunch of junk in your soul. You've got to dump it, no matter how precious or how tied up you are to it. Get rid of it wherever you can. And put the divine viewpoint in its place. Look where we're at in history, and who knows where we're at? We do. We see it passing away. We're in a special place watching this thing pass away. The saints, when this was written, they had faith in the coming Antichrist, the coming tribulation, but they've been in heaven a long time. And they're not miserable in the least. The only thing they want to get their hands on, so to speak, is their resurrection body. And their rewards. But we all get that at once. And this is going to be the funny part. These people out here, I don't hate them. I mean, there's a certain amount of contempt you have for people that act the way they do. I have compassion and contempt. I can hold those two things in my soul simultaneously. God does. The Bible says God has indignation every day. And why doesn't he uncork on everybody? Because he is a God that gives people time to figure this out before that window of opportunity is over. And he's given us the time. We're in a special place because we're on the cusp of things. The prophecies are all coming together. Yes, I'm looking for that temple to go up, but he's going to do it just exactly on the day and everything. He's got that all timed out perfectly. For the purposes. So you just have to, there has to be the Jewish temple. And it's in the news. It's been in the news for a long time. There's a bunch of Orthodox Jews that want to put that temple up that the Romans tore down in 70 AD under the wrath of God. You want to put that temple back up. They've got everything ready to go. They just need the green light. So that's a big deal. Oh, and we'll review the doctrine of the Antichrist. I got to witness to one of the technicians that was giving me my annual eye exam. I can still see. That's good news. And it hadn't changed. Well, you're a pastor. What kind of church? Well, where do we start? So I just start with the basics. So we teach through the Bible, verse by verse, book by book. Just like if you were going to read a novel, you don't go in the middle and read Baron. You go right on through it. That's how you get everything, right? You have a chance of getting everything. And then, I don't know why it came up, I said, I just like to throw things at people. Maybe I'm, you say you're malicious. No. I say, I know who the Antichrist is. What? The who? I know who the Antichrist is. They've been guessing at him all through the church age. And so we'll review that. I know who the Antichrist is. And I can give you the documentation. I'm not asking you ever, anybody, to believe anything that I don't give you the documentation for. Chapter and verse. That's fair enough? So point 61, and the lust of it. Where would we be without lust? This is the world we live in. We fight against our sin natures. The lust pattern is manifesting itself in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of people. Lust for things, pleasure, experiences, and all the rest. One must differentiate between lust and a desire for something. You can desire a new couch, whatever. See? But you pray about it, and you wait on the Lord, and it doesn't mean you can't go shop. You can't go look for something. It's just an attitude. The Jews in the wilderness lusted. Here's an example. The Jews in the wilderness lusted for a break from the eating of manna. This perfect food that God fed all those people all those years. They lusted for something, a break in the routine. After all, their first meal in the desert wasn't manna. It was quail. Lots of quail that God brought in, and they could just go out and club them and pile them up because he forced them right down on their level. So one of the tests, they wanted manna. Give us manna. They could have been polite about it. We'd like to try that manna thing again if it's amenable with Yahweh. What's wrong with that? So they got their manna. And when they got it, they gorged themselves on it. They acted like complete idiots. And God killed a bunch of them. Now that was lust. A desire they could have had, it's an attitude towards an object. I desire to eat lobster. At all costs, I'm going to run around and find lobster and just eat as much as I can. And it did not glorify God. And some of them died while their mouths were stuffed with it. A desire for a thing is not necessarily bad as long as you can figure this out. If you're jealous of other people and you just got to have them, you're probably under your lust pattern. But the fuel that runs the world is lust. Take lust out of the equation, we wouldn't even recognize society. Not that there isn't going to be lust on earth during the millennium. People are going to have sin natures, not us. But it isn't fueled and propaganda and shoved at us the way it is in our world. They say sex sells. So they use sensuality and stuff to get people to buy stuff, to get all these kind of things. And so the lust of it refers to rampant STA activity running unchecked. As we get closer to the end, the more the lawlessness occurs. And I don't mean just criminal activity in the streets. I mean personal behavior, sanctioning stuff that even in our civilization, 10, 20 years ago, we didn't sanction this. This was wrong. Now it's okay. Who made it okay? Who made LGBT plus okay? They put a plus out there because you can add some other weird stuff. In case we've overlooked something. What kind of a person goes up against true science and says, I'm not a girl. I'm not a boy. What? Who lets them get by with this? Some sick people. See, that's why the world hates us. They don't want to hear this message. Oh, you're just full of hate. I hate sin. I hate evil. I hate the evil in me, if you like. So what? You can't hate anything? Then anything goes? Where's the end of this? There is no end. It's a slippery slope. The moral decay just keeps going. That's our civilization. And other people in the world practice these things to some degree or another. It's a part of the attack on humanity by Satan and those that will promote this kind of stuff. Because Satan hates marriage. God set it up. Can't have that. Let's start chipping away at that one. So we have the normal perversions and we have the abnormal perversions. Which, as I told you, as back in 1973 is when the American Psychiatric Association, in their big annual meeting, it's back in 73 or 4, this is when they flipped the script. Before, homosexuality was wrong and a problem. And then, now it's good. They're calling evil good now. So we lost that one, and it took all these decades, for now it's widely accepted. And what's the Bible say? Oh, it's very clear. So Satan attacks all the divine institutions, of which there are four. These divine institutions were designed to protect the entire human race, believer and unbeliever, marriage, family, marriage, family, because from marriage comes children. And, I left off a very important one, volition. I mean, what did I leave off? Free will. He gives people free will. Marriage. Family. And later down the road, nationalism. And so what do they promote today? Just nations are bad. We got to get rid of all the nations and all this mess. And homogenize everybody. I think God's into culture too. He likes different cultures. Not the bad stuff in them, but culture. To get nationalism in place, he broke up the party at Babel. Oh, that's a good miracle. You didn't have to do anything violent. We're going to reach the throne room. We're going to build up this city to the sky. And one day, he took all these people and gave them multiple languages. It's very hard to work with other people that you can't understand what they're saying. So they all just dispersed and went their own way. The original plan. It's more than one way to deal with things. This was brilliant. So STA, lawlessness increases in the last days, which will be dramatically reduced during the 1,000 years. You will hardly recognize the place. So for so many reasons. But you'll still see humans, regular humans, working, having families, doing no war, no warmongers. Nations cannot solve their differences by fighting each other and slaughtering each other. They have a beef with another, and they will. They can go to the court of arbitration, and Christ will deal. Historically, all this time, this territory called Kashmir, between Pakistan and India, whose is it? Fighting over this thing. Struggling over this thing. So that'll be solved. These things will all be solved. See the doctrine of the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, when we come back with him in the invasion from heaven to the earth, and he sets up his kingdom. And he sets it, and he builds it on believers only to start it. Well, that's off subject a little. ST activity will be dramatically reduced during the 1,000 years. People aren't going to get by with a bunch of the stuff that's allowed to run amok today. They just will not be able to. So crime, all these kind of things, that institutionalized crime, no funny money system, no fiat money economies, no elitists exempt from everything, doing their number over people. And imagine the reduction of, okay, one, no warfare. Nations will not be allowed to build up armaments and train men to fight. They can use their resources for other stuff, like clean energy, free clean energy, which I think people like Tesla and everything, they figured this out. Well, we can't have that, can we? No, okay. But we'll have, we won't have suppressed beneficial technologies. They won't be suppressed. People will invent stuff. People will discover stuff, figure stuff out. And it'll really be wonderful in that regard. And it'll be totally eliminated in the eternal state. We won't even be talking about this when we get to the final phase of the kingdom of God, when he creates a new earth and sets that city in the middle of it. I know it's hard to imagine, but here's the way I look at it. I see the good things God has created on this earth, beneficial, attractive, useful, and all of it, and the variety. Think what he's going to do in phase three, when he brings all that out. So you aren't going to be bored. You will not be bored. None of us will. The details are given in the prophecies of the second advent in Scripture. Those who survive as unbelievers, to the second half of the tribulation. See, the tribulation, when it hits, it's going to take a phenomenal attrition on the human race. But keep this in mind, of course. He always gives everybody the gospel first. Get saved. That's the priority. Become a believer. All the nations and everybody, no matter how primitive, wherever they are, will hear in their own language the gospel. And then they'll be given other instructions. Don't take the mark of the beast. Not a good idea, because that will neutralize your volition. It will neutralize the volition of the individual. That's what they want to do. Mind control, chips in the brain, various things. Don't take any of that stuff. I mean, we have the forerunners now where people can now do hand scans so you don't lose your credit card. I don't want that in my body. I don't care how it would enhance me. You can't trust any of it, because there's always the bad side. They want to track everybody. They want to even know what our thoughts are. That's how draconian it's getting. And I'm not exaggerating for those of you who study any of the technologies they're trying to develop. They want to take cash away from you. You can't buy a stick of gum without them knowing it. No privacy. Oh, it's all for your good. That's what all dictatorial systems say. It's for your security. You give up your freedom and you don't have any security. Those who survive as unbelievers to the second half of the tribulation will not like this one bit. What about those that stay negative through the tribulation? You think at some point you would give in, wouldn't you? Nope, I'm not going to fight this anymore. It's a losing cause. Verse 10, yeah. Revelation 11. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate who's they celebrate or the killing of the two witnesses. Four men are coming back to this earth that were here a long time ago, relatively. Two are unbelievers and two are believers. Perfect. The two believers are Moses and Elijah. they're going to hit the Middle East the minute we're raptured out of here. Because this is going to have to, this stuff's got to be explained to people. Where'd everybody go? Where are all these disappearing people that just vanished off the face of the earth? Raptured right in front of you. I was telling Graham about it. I said, if you're sitting in class, you probably got X number of classmates over there in that Bethany school that are believers. You might have got some that aren't. I don't know. I said, you're going to be resurrected right up out of there. All your clothes are going to be left behind. He says, yeah, and I'm going to be 35. Because everybody in the resurrection body is going to be 35. Prime of life. I said, yeah. Can you imagine what the unbelievers stand there seeing that for the minute? Because it's not just like people are going to vanish like that. As far as I can tell, they're going to see it. The dead in Christ will rise first out of the graves. Every cemetery in the world where there's believers will be violated. Christ's tomb, I say, is violated. The physical evidence, the stone rolled up a hill, big, heavy stone in that rich man's tomb. And his grave clothes were laid perfectly on that slab where they laid him, undisturbed. It would be like me coming out of this suit and every button on it and everything on it is in, the shoes are tied, everything. It just collapses to the floor. Explain that away. Not like Superman breaking out of his clothes, you know. So, these two witnesses, there will be a war between the Antichrist and these two witnesses. And when I say war, I don't mean just words. A war of words. The Antichrist, one of my members said to me, I think the Antichrist will be killed by them. Because the two witnesses will have the power. They'll be miracle workers, not they, God through them. They will be able, you read about them, they'll be able, as they will, to bring things to turn rivers to blood. Who did that? Bring fire down out of heaven and all other diverse environmental effects around the world. And they will send people out there to try to kill them. That would be natural. We got to get rid of these two guys. And it will be frustrated for 3.5 years. They'll send big armies out. The earth will open up her mouth and swallow them. And people won't be so keen to want to go back out. In other words, it'd be like they're in a bubble. Well, you could get a sniper to go in there. Still won't work. They'll know it, and they'll call fire out of heaven, and all be left is his rifle. And they'll do this for 3.5 years. And they're going to expose all kinds of stuff. It's my two lampstands that I put before the whole earth. The news media will not be able to block this out. They can't. Not when they have a river in their country full of blood. This is the day of the Lord is hardcore. Hardcore. Thank God we won't be here. We get taken out in the nick of time, and then it starts. It starts slow, and it builds like a storm. And if you thought the first half was bad, the second half is even more terrible. And it's one of the seal judgments. I was listening to a weird song. Of course, I listen to weird songs to some people. And it was the words in it. And the Lamb... This was in the song. And the Lamb opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And then they go into this music. I kind of like that stuff, but that's just me. And they'll celebrate their death, and they will send gifts to one another. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, that's not very long, but it's a conspicuous number. It corresponds to the 3.5 years of the tribulation. The breath of life from God came into them. Now, you've got to realize, they are laying out on the street. They're public enemy, number one. Their heads are cut off. They're laying out there as a display. We got them. We got them. See? And they have this hope that they... And they stood on their feet. And great fear fell upon those who were watching them. And they, Moses and Elijah, heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. So it can't be quick, so quick like a flash. It has to be slow. They get their resurrection bodies right then. Because their other bodies were subject to death, so there was natural bodies. Hey, how many times can you die and go in the afterlife and come back? And who are the people you know in the Bible have done that? Well, Moses, he died and went to paradise back in the day. He's brought back to life. He came back at the transfiguration with Elijah, perfect. And then they come back in the tribulation. So they died twice, presumably, died, came back. And they have quite a career. See, being in the plan of God is phenomenal. That's why you shouldn't cheapen it. You shouldn't cheapen it by missing class, not being here. Build your life around it. I'm here to try to help you to get your crown. You can't change yesterday, but you can change today. And take this seriously. There's big things for those that take God seriously, and not so much for those that don't. So in the tribulation, that negative volition won't like this. The details are given in the prophecy of the second advent. Okay, by contrast, those who do the will of God abide forever. Verse 17b. What is the will of God? The old order will perish from the earth, but believers will enter the eternal kingdom on earth. The new order, ushered in by the coming of Christ, we characterized by your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is cited, so many churches around. What are they asking for? Man isn't going to bring this kingdom in. It's coming in with violence because there's opponents to it. They have a chance to be on the right side, as always, but they won't get on the right side. So they'll be ground under. And it won't be pretty. And so, also in that, the wrath of the Lamb. We never associate a lamb with anything scary. Ever. I love it. The wrath of the Lamb. That is how Moses and Elijah are going to refer to Jesus Christ in their preaching. The Lamb of God. He's not a four-legged animal. He is the Savior. It is a figure of speech. He's the Lamb of God. He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And a lion, that puts up a whole different image, the opposite of a lamb, of something fierce and not to be taken lightly, a fearless animal, programmed to do what they do, kill things. So, but they're going to refer to him as the lamb. The human race is going to refer to the Antichrist as the beast. They're not going to say... They might have other names for him, but they're going to call him the beast. It's a proud name in the cosmos. He's the beast. And that's what the Bible calls him. The one who abides forever is he who does the will of God, which refers to believing in Christ for eternal life. That's the will of God. John 3. Well, I need to close it down here. Again, remember the prep school. I got a request that be patient and let them finish up with their class in there. That means being quiet in the hall if you need to go down and use the restroom or whatever. Okay? Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.